You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I am broadcasting from Springfield, Illinois, our state's capital. In studio, James Vickery joins us, and on the line, we have State Representative Mark Batnick, who represents the 97th District, including Plainfield, Shorewood, Oswego. Am I right about that, Representative? That's your area?
You are correct. Yes, you are correct.
It's a fine area with a weird chunk cut out right in the middle of Plainfield and Shorewood, but that's for another time. Crest Hill apparently doesn't like you. tell us a little bit about the legislation that you worked on and read to the floor today and passed, I believe.
Well, we passed out of the House a property tax freeze, and it throws everybody into PTEL, property tax extension limitation law. And basically, that used to go up with CPI or 5%, depending on certain circumstances. And now it freezes that increase at zero. And we passed out of the House today with pretty strong bipartisan support.
And that's something that people are concerned about. How does this affect a homeowner? I mean, when you say you're freezing the property taxes, will that have a, I mean, it has to go to the Senate first and then it goes to the governor's office, which I'm assuming if all goes well, he would obviously approve that. But, you know, this is something that's really important to Illinoisans, isn't it?
It's hugely important. Here's the stat I really like to cite. You know, in inflation adjusted dollars, our property tax bills have gone up nearly double in the last few decades. And we just can't keep allowing them to have these automatic increases. It's just gotten to the point where it's really hurting job growth. It's hurting seniors. It's hurting the unemployed, hurting small businesses. And we have to do something to cap property taxes. So
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. You go, sir.
Well, I was going to say, it's certainly a drastic measure to freeze it. But it does allow the citizens to take a referendum if they wanted to vote on, any particular governmental body. If they feel they need more money, they can always go to referendum to get more money whether it be a school or a park district or whatever, to get more, more money from the property tax bill.
Right. So the individual municipalities can take their own control over that if they find that they need the resources.
Correct. And I think the key there is that actually the individual voters have more control, because instead of it happening a little bit more automatically, the voters would have the say. You know, the municipalities or the school district or the park district would have to go to the voters, and the voters would have to approve an increase in money going to them.
And why? What has accounted for as you said? You said it's doubled over the last 20 years. The property taxes.
I think it's gone up. The last stat I saw, I think it's gone up in real dollars 175-180%. Or it's up to 180% from where it was, say, back when I was in college or high school. So about 2.5 decades
I mean, a lot of that, I mean, obviously our spending has gotten to the point where we're not generating the revenue, and that is one place where legislators have turned to is property taxes, leaned on that pretty heavily for paying for schools and other important services. Is that right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, we are back. We did cut funding from the state level for schools. But we have increased that again. We're back to 100% funding level, which we hadn't been at in a long time. But I think schools is a big part that the state participates in. But if you look at even all the other layers of government, those portions have gone up kind of ahead of inflation as well.
Right.
So, look, I think there's a lot of things that needs to be done to make a bill like this work best. I do think we need to fund education more from the state level. I think that there's some laws that we could change to make it a little bit easier for government to operate at a local level from a mandate standpoint and then from a regulation standpoint. But this is part of a package. It's not the end all be all.
Correct. That makes sense to me. And by the way, I want to introduce you to James Vickery, who's a good friend of the show. He's
Hello.
In the showcase studio holding down the fort. James, you've got to come down to Springfield with me sometime.
I really want to.
Well, this is an interesting week. Get on Amtrak and come down, because Representative Batnick, explain to us a little bit about what happens tomorrow at the inauguration. It's kind of an exciting time.
Well, I guess we all go on stage like graduation. Then really the big vote is for Speaker. And that's pretty much the main thing we do tomorrow is we take the vote for Speaker of the House.
Oh, and wow. do you think there's going to be any drama? Because I've heard some rumblings. I really think it would be interesting if somebody nominated Scott Drury, who is on the Democratic side, but if he was supported by a block of Republicans, that would be some drama, don't you think?
It would certainly be drama, except for I'm sad to say I don't think we're going to see that drama tomorrow. To my knowledge, Representative Drury hasn't reached out to any of us. He hasn't reached out to me. And I think some of the Democrats that were on the fence have kind of made it known publicly that they're going to go ahead and support Speaker Madigan for Speaker again in the 100th General Assembly. So I actually think where the drama is going to be is when we vote on the rules, which matter as much as the vote for Speaker. And the rules vote, I think, is when we come back down in a week and a half or so.
Okay. So that, and the rules, meaning what would that entail?
Well, the rules are the rules that we follow in the House. And if you look at our rules versus how other states operate, they give a lot more power to the Speaker. So we have what's called a Rules Committee. So every bill doesn't automatically go to a committee and then doesn't automatically get heard. If I introduce a bill, it first goes basically to Madigan, and he decides whether it's dead on arrival right there or not. In other states, you don't have that. And if I were to submit a bill, it goes to a committee. It gets heard in that committee. Here, it could be stopped by Madigan at Rules Committee, or it could go to into its proper committee, and it could just sit and gather dust there. So there's a lot of things that we do in this state from the standpoint of the rules that give the Speaker a lot more power than, you know, anybody else in the country with a similar position.
In your recent memory, has he done that, where he has basically stamped something dead upon arrival? Or before?
Oh, my God, it happens all the time.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Oh,
see,
absolutely.
That's something. I think that's something that people aren't aware of. I mean, people kind of have this idea of him being this this shadowy figure of manipulating things. I don't think that, we kind of have a vague idea of what that means. But I would say that would pretty much put them squarely as a shadowy figure manipulating things. Don't you think, James?
Yeah. And that's, I think there's going to be a lot more emphasis placed on that when that comes up for a vote again this time, or at least I hope there is. When I came in as a freshman blind, I pretty much knew as much as you did. The rules, no big deal. Since that time, I've done a lot of research on what other states do, and it's just, there's a lot of things that we can do. You're not a lot, in Illinois, you can substitute in and out of committee like it's a basketball game. And other states don't do that. So in other states, you send a bill to committee, there's a hearing on it, and it might be towards the end of session where you actually vote on that, so you can go back and research and find out if what you heard in committee was true or not. That's not what we do in Illinois. We sit there without whiteboards, sometimes without computers. Somebody gives a little speech, and then we vote on whether or not we like the bill or not. And I don't think that's a good way of handling the process, especially in the day and age we're in with the technology and abilities that we have.
So, I was just going to say, without computers, but we have those now.
Yeah, we do. I will say that some committees do have computers.
Okay, good.
Still, if somebody does a 5-minute presentation on an important bill, I might want to go do an hour or two worth of research. No, that's not how it happens. Literally, you then call a vote. You have somebody who comes in crying over why you need to pass their bill, and you feel the pull and you feel the emotion, and then you vote on it right away with the person sitting in the room. So
I've seen it. I've seen that happen. I almost jumped over the railing when I was watching something that I knew more about than everybody else was voting on. I about nearly wanted to knock somebody over.
Wow.
But Representative Badnick, I want to thank you for taking your time. I know that it's late tonight, but I want to bring you back in the studio when you are available on a Friday night. If you're up for it again,
absolutely. And I'm mad. I didn't know any of you were in Springfield. I would have come visited you tonight.
I was. Oh no worries. I will see you tomorrow at the inauguration. I'll be around during the day. Love to catch up with you.
Sounds fantastic. Appreciate it.
Excellent. Have a great night. Again, that was Representative Mark Batnick representing the 97th district. And we've got to take a break here and come back with the news in just a moment on 720 WGN.